And now, another person of that family to make you feel really happy. One, in my estimation, one of the most spiritual little ladies on this earth. She oozes with love. She always has time for God and God work. It's our young lady that's going to share her thoughts with us tonight, our Charlene.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
A love package.
I just want to first thank my ex-husband, Salvador, for singing and for even being here tonight. He's been one of my biggest teachers on love. And I just honor him and really appreciate you coming. I love you. And for giving me that beautiful girl sitting next to him, too. Yes. And, you know, I'm just a humble servant of God and of you. And I just ask that you extend your grace to me and send me some prayers of love that I could pull God's energy and God's love through for you. I'm not a speaker, and those of you in my class know that I'm not a speaker. I get silent. I don't know what to say, and I have to sort it out and think. So just bear with me, and to send me some love. Thank you. I honor you. Thank you so much for coming, and everybody who came tonight. I just love you all. It's amazing how much I love you all. But I just wanted to start with a little story about a monkey. And it's a true story, actually, and it took place in Japan. And there was a group of monkeys that were studied off the coast of Japan in an island called Koshima, and they were studied for 30 years. So there was a shortage of food on this island, so the group of scientists decided, well, we're just going to take some sacks of sweet potatoes and feed these monkeys, because we don't know what else to do. So they would pull up in the boat and they'd drop these sweet potatoes in the sand. And the monkeys would eat them. And they liked the sweet potatoes, but they were having an issue with the sand being on the sweet potatoes. So after a period of time, one of the monkeys, 18-month-old female named Emo, she took the sweet potato, went to the water and washed it off and ate it. So she took this little experiment that she was doing and brought it to her troop and taught her mother how to take the sweet potatoes to the water and wash them. And then soon her playmates started doing the same thing. They started taking the sweet potatoes and washing them and eating them. But what was even more amazing than that was that the scientists observed that on another island, without any association with these monkeys, this other group of monkeys started washing their potatoes and getting the sand off them and eating them. So they were really puzzled at what was going on. And this is this whole dynamic with these monkeys is called collective consciousness. And Emo was the critical mass. That monkey was the 100th monkey that started washing these sweet potatoes and then sent that energy into the field of potential that crossed over the sea to another island and caused these other monkeys to start washing their sweet potatoes. So let's suppose that when the sun rose one morning and there were 99 monkeys on Koshima Island who had learned to wash their sweet potatoes. Let's further suppose that later that morning the 100th monkey learned to wash the sweet potato, and then it happened. By that evening, almost everyone in the tribe was washing the sweet potatoes before eating them. The added energy of this 100th monkey somehow created an ideological breakthrough. The most surprising thing observed by the scientists was that the habit of washing sweet potatoes then spontaneously jumped over sea, and colonies of other monkeys on the mainland troop of monkeys began washing their sweet potatoes. Thus, when a certain critical number achieves that awareness, this new awareness may be communicated from mind to mind, Although the exact number isn't known, it's called the 100th monkey phenomenon. And that means that when only a limited number of people know of a new way, it may remain the conscious property of only that group. But there's a point at which one more person tunes into a new awareness, a field is strengthened so that that awareness reaches almost everyone. And there's been experiments by Dr. J.B. Rhine at Duke University that repeatedly demonstrated that individuals can communicate private information to each other even though located in different places. We now know that the strength of this extrasensory communication can be amplified to powerfully effective level when the consciousness of the 100th person is added. And I feel that as humans, sometimes we get caught up in thinking, well, in trying to control our own individual consciousness. It's like, what am I thinking, and what are those thoughts creating? But there's a point where we have to understand that we're subject to a collective consciousness that we have control over, but we're just not aware of it or how it's affecting us. I mean, you can just look at the collective consciousness when you turn on the news. And even though you individually do not have violent thoughts or thoughts of anger, hatred, you just see it smeared all over the news. And it does come back to affect each one of us individually. So just as individual thoughts, beliefs, emotions, and actions mirror perfectly what you experience in your life, it is the collective thought, belief, emotion, and action pattern of the 6+ billion individuals around the world, which collectively join to create the various events, conditions, circumstances in the world on a much broader scale. God gave us free will to think, say, and behave any way we choose, and those thoughts, words, and actions will match up to the like vibrational frequency, which not only determines what is created in our own lives individually, but joins together with the individual thought patterns of others, which contributes and collectively determines the collective consciousness of the planet. As you sow, so shall you reap. And that's in Galatians 6, chapter verse 7. An individual thought of fear, for example, holds a much different vibrational frequency than the thoughts based on love. Now imagine a billion plus thought seeds based on fear being projected into the infinite field of potential. And what type of harvest do you suppose is going to grow? A harvest that perfectly matches with the kind of seeds being sown. So what does that harvest look like? It looks like genocide, war, disease, hunger, violence, greed, floods, earthquakes, hurricanes. The forces of nature are also subject to the vibrational frequencies of our collective thought patterns. And in just the last six years, I'll name a few of those events. We'll start with earthquakes in Haiti, 7.0, Chile, 8.8, Japan, 9.0, Turkey, 5.7. And hurricanes, we have Katrina, Ike, Ivan, Charlie, Rita, Wilma, Francis, and Jean. And then tsunamis, we have December 26, 2004, a 9.0 earthquake off the coast of Sumatra killed tens of thousands of people. July 17, 2006, a 6.8 earthquake off the coast of West Java killed 1,500 and left 74,000 people homeless. In October 25th, 2010, a 7.2 earthquake off the coast of Sumatra caused a tsunami which killed 509 people. March 11th, 2011, 9.0 earthquake off the coast of Japan caused 16,000 deaths and a meltdown in 3 nuclear reactors. And the list goes on and on and on and on. So you might ask yourself, how can I, as one person, make a difference? And the Dalai Lama said, if you think that you are too small to make a difference, try sleeping with a mosquito. So you might ask, where do I begin? First, by becoming aware that the collective consciousness exists and recognizing that it has no power over you unless you choose to allow it. Free will of others cannot affect your free will, whether individually or collectively, unless and until you buy into and accept the conditions which this collective consciousness has created. By buying into the negativity, you are utilizing your individual free will to create more seeds of negativity. So watch your thoughts and watch your words and watch your actions, as my mama over here always says. And you can begin by acknowledging the oneness of all of us and how we're just so deeply connected to each other. And have reverence for the divine force that resides in each individual, the divine force that connects us to one another and connects us to God. Albert Einstein said, a human being is part of a whole called by the universe, a part limited in time and space. He experiences himself, his thoughts, his feelings as something separate from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of his consciousness. And this delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to the affection of for a few persons nearest to us. Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circle of compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature and its beauty. And God is the ocean, and we are the individual drops of water. And we are not separate from each other, and we are not separate from God, when we are one. And Kabir said, all knows that the drop merges into the ocean, but very few know that the ocean emerges into the drop of water. So I'd like to tell you another story about a man, a Jewish man. His name is Jeffrey Cagle, and he traveled to India with Ram Dass in the 60s to meet his spiritual teacher named Neem Karoli Baba. And he tells this story about how him and a bunch of Westerners are waiting outside this temple to meet their guru, Neem Karoli Baba, and they're waiting all day and all night. And it starts getting dark, and they have to take this bus back to the town that they're staying in, and Neem Karoli Baba never came out to come to get them, to talk to him. So finally, a servant comes out and summons the Westerners to come and come in the room and talk with their guru. So they're sitting there for the longest time, and there's just silence in this room. And they're all wondering, like, what's going on? Why is he not speaking to us? All of a sudden, they became overwhelmed with this sense of love and oneness. And tears started filling their eyes, and their guru, Neem Karoli Baba, sat there looking at them. And tears start filling his eyes, and he can't muster up the energy or the courage to send them away. So they're all just sitting in the sea of love with their spiritual master. So finally, Neem Karoli Baba says to them, it's in the blood. The same blood runs through everyone's veins. Now go, go. Same blood, one heart of God, one love of the universe, all one. And I'd just like to leave Neem Karoli Baba's words with you. And I just love you all with all my heart. And we are all one. And I look at each individual face and I see the perfect mirror image of myself. And I just love you. And thank you, Neem Karoli Baba. Thank you. And my daughter Julia has a little something for you. She's going to pass it out. And this is Neem Karoli Baba.